Greetings again, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. It is definitely an honor to be able to worship with you again this morning. Some of you may remember, but in the slight chance that some of you were not here the last time I was here, I mentioned that I'm Jamaican, and for those who remember, there's two things that you could be sure is true about most Jamaican, can't paint a white brush, you know, and say all, but most Jamaicans, and is that one, we're always late. We do try to be on time, but, you know, like our understanding of time is relative. So we're always late. And the second is that we like when people talk back to us. You know, I remember the first time my husband kind of saw my mom and I having a conversation. He thought we were at each other's throat. You know, he's Pennsylvania German Dutch, so they kind of are a little bit more reserved. When he saw us having a conversation, he thought, oh my gosh, are they arguing? And like, no, we're talking. We're having a conversation. Somehow, by some miracle, we hear what everyone is saying. I don't know how that's even possible because we all talk at the same time. So if some of you are Italian, you might know what I'm talking about. So yeah, it's not just us. So those are the two things that you can know about Jamaican. Why is it that so relevant? Because it's the same when we worship too. We like when people talk back to us. So don't hesitate to answer a question or two that might pop up in the sermon, unless I say you don't have to answer that, because some questions you might not want to answer in front of everybody, you know, or don't hesitate to say that again, or, you know, anything that pops into your head, as long as it's good stuff. yeah, I won't get distracted. In fact, you'll help calm my nerves a little bit, because I'm really trying to relax a little bit. Nonetheless, let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks that we could come into your house and that we can worship you. We give you thanks, oh Father God, that we can sit in such a place to hear your word be proclaimed, oh God. Right now, oh Lord Jesus, I pray that you make my tongue that of a ready writer, oh Father God, to speak with accuracy and with boldness, but never with arrogance, oh Lord Jesus. I pray also for all of our hearts, oh Lord Jesus, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God, you will make your word of truth known to each of us, oh Lord Jesus, and that you will meet us right where we are, oh God. For those who need conviction, oh God, may your spirit convict us. For those of us who need changing, oh God, may your spirit change us. For those of us who need some challenge, oh God, may your spirit challenge us, oh Lord Jesus. And if we need a little bit of push forward, oh God, to stand in your boldness, oh Lord Jesus, may your spirit give us that gentle nudge that we need, oh God. Whatever it is that we need, oh Lord Jesus, not according to what we think, oh God, but according to your truth, oh God, and according to your power and your righteousness and your will, oh God, let it be known to us, oh Lord Jesus. Father God, open our minds that we might meditate on your word, our hearts that we might receive you, oh Lord Jesus, and our strength to surrender to your leading and your guidance in our daily walk. For this we pray in your holy name. May the body of Christ say, amen. The title for the message this morning is Live Lives Worthy of God Who Calls You. This is a borrowed quote from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, which was read so beautifully for us. Let me say it again. Live lives worthy of the call of God who calls you. This statement, beyond what comes after it and before it, hinges on one word, and that is the word calls. Oftentimes when we hear the word call or calls or calling within the context of the Christian world today, it is often with regards to folks who feel a call from Christ to become a pastor, to become a missionary, or an evangelist of some sort. Personally, though, I think we have spent so much time and energy on this one example that we have to a certain degree disabled or even paralyzed the ability of the larger church, the body of Christ, from hearing God's call. And there's a difference in that. As a result, we in our humanity, we, our leaders of the church, and I'm not talking exclusively of the Moravian church, I'm talking about the church worldwide. We, as leaders of our churches, not just this one, but many of the churches and their earth leaders, have taken the authority on ourselves of the meaning and the understanding of call and calling out of the hands of the Almighty God in Jesus Christ. The danger of this is we end up placing our loyalty, our trust and hope, our identity in earthly things and people, and yes, titles, instead of in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, the title for the message today is quoted from 1 Thessalonians, which says, "Live lives worthy of God who calls," amen, "who calls you." See, you're catching on. Live lives worthy of God who calls you. Why should we live lives worthy of God who calls us? It says it in the passage, because it is God who calls us. So therefore, the lives that we live should be worthy of him who calls us. Our call comes from God, not from the church, not from a man, not from a woman, not from a title, but from the Almighty God in Jesus Christ. The moment we forget that, our thoughts and our actions and the things that we join ourselves with, that we give our allegiance to, becomes that of that thing. And it negates the call of God. Because sometimes the call of God is to do something radically different from the call of man. Two of my favorite stories from the Word of God, and I have many, are that of Moses and David. But I'll just give you Moses today. Moses was at first a murderer who ran away in shame and guilt, and the darkness of life that had overtaken him when God called him. God said, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When Moses met God that day, he was a broken man. The guilt of his past still loomed over him. But God, the God who called Moses and said, "Moses, Moses," changed his life. God placed on Moses's life, God call on Moses's life was for him to first and foremost step outside of darkness and into his holy, righteous, glorious and marvelous light. It was first the call to be saved through intimacy with his Almighty God. It was a call first to be made whole again by his God in Jesus Christ. An unsaved man, brothers and sisters, neither knows what it feels like know what it looks like to be saved or to go through the process of salvation. Thus, an unsaved man can neither save himself nor others. Let's put it in a different way, a more earthly way. Can a man who cannot swim save another who is drowning? You don't sound so convinced. I would hope no one who can't swim jump out in the water to try and save me if I'm drowning, because neither of us will make it. No, if a man or a woman or whomever cannot swim and someone is in the water who's drowning and they feel the impulse to go in and save them, they will both drown. An unsaved man cannot save another. Thus, a person who has not experienced the salvation and the intimacy of God cannot save or lead somebody else to Christ. It doesn't make sense. There is a difference between being called and being sent. There is a difference between being called and being gifted for a purpose. Moses was sent to deliver the children of Israel out of the bondage in Egypt. However, he was first called to be a child of God and to be delivered first. He was called first to be saved. Remember also, brothers and sisters, it took 40 years before he went back to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel. 40 years. Call. When someone feels a call from God to be a minister, a teacher, a janitor, an evangelist, whatever it may be, they're not receiving a call from God for that task. They are receiving a call from God to first be saved, to understand what it means to do this task. But what they're receiving next is the outpouring of Christ's Holy Spirit gifting them for the purpose for which God will send them. When Jesus Christ called his disciples, he didn't call them to be anything but disciples. Disciple means to sit under the discipline or teaching of. Literally, what I've seen in some of the Greeky stuff that's out there, you know, I don't know Greek, I don't study Greek, Hebrew is my thing. But when I looked at the Hebrew word for disciple, what popped up was learner or student. When Jesus Christ called his disciples, he called them to be his students first and foremost. Again, so when Jesus called his disciples, he called them into a relationship with him. They had to first learn how to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, trust in Jesus the way God, Christ himself, trust in God Almighty. They had to learn to have faith in him, because if they did not have faith in him, if they did not have that relationship with him, how were they going to go and teach others about Christ and about what he was doing for them? They had to learn by his example, by the words that came out of his mouth. They were called first to step outside of the earthen world and into the kingdom of the Heavenly Father. They were called first to learn to walk in the footsteps of their Lord and Master Jesus Christ. They needed to learn first to walk in the life of Christ, to talk like Christ, to live like Christ. But they weren't sent to do anything until they had received the Spirit of Christ. If you remember in the book of Acts, Jesus cautioned them to do nothing until the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, because their power and their authority was not theirs, but God's. In the book of Acts also is when we saw that the word disciple sort of took a back seat, and now they were apostles. They were no longer disciples because they had already learned and they have received the Spirit of Christ. They were now apostles. And the word apostle means sent. Sent. Brothers and sisters, every last one of us are called. And the call that God has placed on your life and mine is that first and foremost, we learn to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, live like Jesus. There are millions out there who are looking for Christ in a broken world. There are millions who are in places of darkness and are waiting for the Moses of this age, the Pauls of this age, the Peter and the Johns of this age, the Marys of this age. But until we have sat at the feet of Jesus, until we learn how to swim, we can't go out there and save others. I'm not making any assumptions, but I would like us to challenge ourselves to ponder God's call on our lives. And I would like to do that by leaving you with three scriptures to ponder for however long the Lord desires you to ponder them. The first is one that I've quoted throughout this message, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:12. And I will include the latter part of the verse that I purposely left off until now. The word of God says, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom of glory. It is God who calls you, brothers and sisters, to live lives worthy of Jesus Christ. You are not called by a man or a woman. You're not called by the world. You're not called by the Moravian Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church, the non-denominational church, the whosoever church. Perhaps these are the places you were sent. But your call is from God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to live lives first and foremost that reflects Jesus Christ in order that you can lead others to him. He died for us. He is worthy of our lives. The second scripture is the one that was read for us as well, 1 Peter 2, chapter 9, which says, the word of God declares, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen to how God describes you, a chosen people, his special possession, a royal priesthood. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has some work for you, but before you can be sent, you need to make sure that you have answered the right call and that your lives reflect Jesus Christ, who loves you so much. Brothers and sisters, just as Christ chose his disciples, he has chosen all of us by calling us out of darkness into his light. I don't know about you, but I know for a fact that I was in darkness at one point in my life, broken beyond recognition, when the Lord rescued me. When he called me out of darkness and told me that, Sanet, you are my special possession. You are my chosen people. You are my royal priesthood. Step into my light. I thought I was unredeemable. I thought I was too broken. I even thought that I was less than worthy of a good life. But Jesus Christ showed me that this was never his plan for me. That his desire for me was a life that was filled with abundance. That is why he went to the cross. There is no one that is beyond redemption. And he gives that call to everybody. Everybody. This leads to the third and final scripture that I desire to leave with you today. As I said, no one is unredeemable. Even the dying thief on the cross who repented was brought into the kingdom of God. Every last one of us have skeletons in our closets. That's just the reality of life. Every last one of us has some regrets in life. And some of us dare not talk about some of the mistakes that we have made. But Jesus Christ cares more about your soul than he does about your mistake. Jesus Christ cares more about your soul than what other people might think about you, say about you. You are worthy in God's eyes, and he calls you. How will you respond? The scripture says in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name, look at that, he even gave you and me his name. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. No one is beyond forgiveness. No one is beyond redemption. God's call to you and to me daily is to let go. Let him heal us so that we can be his healing agents. to others. You tell me this, brother and sisters. Isn't Jesus Christ worthy? Come on. I know he is worthy. Isn't Jesus Christ worthy?
Yes.
I know we know it. Don't be shy to say it. Because I know we know it, I urge us every day to choose to live lives worthy of this Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has graciously invited us into his kingdom of glory. And may the body of Christ say,
Amen. Amen.